Boy Fancast. I'm Sabra Kojas.
And I'm May from the podcast. I am and remain May from the podcast.
For now. This is another season, because we do these, I pretend like this podcast has seasons, and each season is 10 episodes long. And
just a fun way of doing it.
Yeah. It's just one of those, like, I don't know. It isn't like anything. I was going to say, like, oh, because we do them in, like, 10-episode increments. But, like, we can quit at any time. We're our own boss.
We are totally able to stop doing this podcast.
Are we? That's a question for next week's episode.
Exactly right. Trying to just set it up in advance.
Great. Well, save that for next week. This week... So, for one, I want to say, last season, we were flying by the seat of our pants. We said that on the pod. It was like, we would start episodes and be like, we're going to talk about this topic today, and then we would never talk about that topic. And then...
Yeah. It was jazz, baby. Free form.
This season, we did plan out all the episodes. I think what happened was, like, seasons one through... maybe four, we were, like, really planning everything out well in advance. And then as we got into it, we were kind of, we got lazy, first of all. We got complacent. We got, like, yes. Oh, we can just do this podcast. And then, like, also things would come up, and we'd be like, well, we need to talk about that today. So then it just felt like, oh, we can just wing this. And then season seven proved to us that we cannot just wing things.
Yes, and I think part of it was that there we had a very brief rash of Avril doing things, and
yeah.
The news acknowledging that she was doing things, and this podcast got so much easier to make, and so we had it in our brains that it was easy to make this podcast.
Yes.
It's not. We're out, as I always say, we're out in the mines chipping away at this very, it is not a rich vein, let me tell you. This sad vein of Avril content. We're needing to, you know, it's like we're out in the mines and we found an ore, a little bit of gold, a vein of gold, and we mined all of it. And now we're needing to find, what is that rock that's like fool's gold?
Yeah, like pyrite, I think.
Yes, if I had watched Barbie Princess and the Pauper more recently, it would have been top of mind. And honestly, that's on me.
I've never seen Barbie's Princess and the Pauper, whatever it is. But I've heard like good things, honestly.
It's a 10 from me. It's an incredible piece of cinema. Every time I watch a clip from it, I am shocked anew by how horrendous the animation is, but each of the songs is just better than the last.
I've never seen a Barbie animated movie. I think the only Barbie movie I've ever seen is the recent live action directed by Greta Gerwig Barbie movie. It's like not, I mean, Barbie's like not really my thing, but then there's like this whole thing. I'm saying it's a whole thing. I don't know. It's something I saw on TikTok, which could mean anything. It could mean two people saw it, and it could mean 5 million people saw it. Right. But it was this girl who saw the Barbie movie, and she did not like the Barbie movie because she was like, well, like, this wasn't a movie for kids. Like, I don't understand. Which, it was rated PG-13. Of course it wasn't a movie for kids. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I feel like I've talked about this on the podcast, but I'm just going to keep going anyway. And her, like, big complaint was, like, Barbie loves Ken. Why didn't Barbie love Ken in this movie? Like, why didn't they end up together? Like, the whole thing is that Barbie loves Ken. And yeah, in this movie, Barbie doesn't care about Ken. Which is fine. And also, like, there's some theories that it is kind of explained in the movie that, like, she, America Ferrera's character, like, never had a Ken doll, and that's why this Barbie, because it's America Ferrera's Barbie, it right. feels like she doesn't need a Ken. So, like, there are, like, theories of explanation in that, but, like, that's just, like, it's so, what this girl wanted and what she thought, I guess, what she thought the Barbie movie was, I don't know why she would think this, but she thought that it, or wanted it to be, like, the Princess and the Pauper movie. Like, she wanted those old-school Barbie animated movies. And everyone was like, okay, go watch those then.
They still exist. No one took them from you.
It's right. Funny. Like, what the fuck are you... Anyway, okay.
No, that makes no sense. Again, it was not marketed as a children's movie. It was
no!
From the marketing, that's not what it was going to be.
No, it wasn't! PG-13! If you're taking your kids to a PG-13 movie, that's on you!
Yeah. The ratings are right there. They're there for a reason.
Yeah. And also, there wasn't anything inappropriate in the movie. So, like, if you wanted to take your kids to it, I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
They just might not get it.
I don't know. But, right.
I'll spoil the plot for you and everyone else on this podcast. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the Barbie movie. So she lives in Barbie land and everything's perfect and very feminist. And I can see you getting bored already, but that's okay. I'm going to push forward.
I wasn't interested in Oppenheimer either. It was a bad weekend for me.
I was not interested in Oppenheimer. Anyway, Barbie land's perfect. It's very feminist. It's the same as our world, but it's reverse. Women are in charge. The whole Supreme Court is women. Like, the president's a woman. Everyone's women. And the men are just kind of, like, there. And as Ken famously says, people think that my job is lifeguard, but it's not. It's just beach. And so then she starts getting, like, things start going weird. Like, all of a sudden now her feet are flat and, like, her milk is spoiled and her shower is cold. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? And she goes to Weird Barbie. And Weird Barbie is like, you have to go into the real world and figure out who owns you because they're fucking with you. And that's, you have to fix it. You have to help them fix you. So she goes to the real world. Ken tags along. Ken gets his first taste of patriarchy and loves it. So Ken gets sent back to, or maybe just goes back, I don't remember. Somehow he goes back to Barbie land. Barbie meets America Ferrera and her daughter and realizes why these things have been happening. She takes those two back to Barbie land, is like, you're gonna fucking love it. Like, it's so feminist. Everything's so great. Barbies are great. And then they get there and Ken has taken over Barbie land with his patriarchy. And so now all the men are terrible. They're just the worst iteration of men you've ever seen. They're all like explaining the Godfather and like playing guitar and there's horses everywhere. And
oh boy. Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Yeah, literally. And basically they have to figure out how to like save Barbie world and turn it back into the feminist dream that it is.
Wow.
Yeah, so sounds, it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
No, it's notes.
So good.
I would say Barbie Princess and the Pauper, also a great movie. You should watch both of them right now. A double feature. If anyone wants to do the harmonies from Barbie Princess and the Pauper with me, none of my sisters would do the harmonies with me. It's fine. I'm not bitter.
Okay. So that's our talk about the Barbie movies. As you expect on this Avril Lavigne podcast. Yeah. Oh my god, what if Avril Lavigne was in a Barbie movie? That can be a future episode.
Yeah, I think that would be wild because she doesn't like other women.
Skater Barbie.
Oh, there's legs on that. That okay. could be something.
That'll be a future episode. We will ideate a Avril Lavigne Barbie movie.
Ooh, I'm so into this now. I feel like it would be similar to Bratz. You know, like Bratz Rock Angels or whatever.
Did Bratz have a movie?
Mm-hmm, called Rock Angels. They had a few movies. I didn't see any of them, but I know that one of them's called Rock Angels, and I believe it's with a Z. And that has Avril energy.
Okay, so we'll do some research for the future. Yeah. It might be like 7 episodes from now, if anyone's wondering, but...
I thought you were going to say it might be 7 episodes. Like, I thought that right now we were saying we're going to devote 70% of a season to the very vague idea of Avril and also Barbie and Bratz movies exist.
Well, there was a point in time where we were going to dedicate an entire season to a TV show about Avril, and then we dedicated 4 episodes, so.
I want to make more of those. Those are fun.
Okay, well, maybe instead of that this season we'll do Skater Barbie starring Avril Lavigne. Okay, so this is has turned into a production meeting. We're going to go back to our original plan for today's episode, which is there's a website called Betches.com. They make fun pop culture content, and they are doing something called the Betch of the Year 2023. The Betch of the Year Award honors the best, worst, and most what-the-fuck moments of 2023. And they have a bunch of different categories, including... Fever Dream Couple, and the nominees are Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet, Emily Ratajkowski and Eric Andre, Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater, Kendall Jenner and Bad Bunny, and, of course, Tyga and Avril Lavigne.
It's so funny.
Our bitch
it's
made it.
It's shocking to me. Well, yeah, it's like every time someone other than us mentions Avril Lavigne, I'm shocked. Because it's like, to me, she's this niche character that only we know about, and it's not true. Like, everyone knows who Avril Lavigne is, but she does so little in the public eye. And I don't hear, and granted, this is obviously because I'm deeply offline, but I never hear people talking about her music at least her recent stuff, like other than Skater Boy.
They don't. Feel,
which has been extremely memed. Okay, well, I'm glad that you can confirm that they don't, because I have no idea.
Right, I'm on the internet, I'm on all the social medias, and people do not talk about Avril.
Yeah, so it's like shocking when they do, because it seems like they're talking about like my cousin. I'm like, what? Why did she come up? But it's like, obviously she's a mega famous celebrity. I don't know why I have this notion that nobody knows about her. That makes no sense.
That's really funny. I mean, it feels in America like people don't know about her. Like, a lot of times when you do see her, like, Instagram post or something, all the comments are in foreign languages, or they're asking her to come tour in countries that are not... Right, come to Brazil, come to Germany. So I think in America, this is why we're so big in Croatia. Right. By big, I mean, I think we have one listener there. I like, looked at the statistics of, like, our listenership, and I was like, I think this is literally one person.
Well, for this to whoever make sense. You are, we're a huge fan of you.
Yes.
Thank you for all you do for us in Croatia.
Okay, so I'm going to read this Betches article, or at least this section of it. Historians are calling it the worst year for romance in the history of, like, ever. And by historians, I mean us. There were too many breakups to count, and it reached a point where we were surprised by the ones that did last. Really, Jessica, you're going to stick with Justin? Amongst all the heartbreak and Bridget Jones binges, some new couples emerged to fill the gap, and we can't quite determine which of these are real and which are sociology experiments.
Yeah.
Great question.
That feels so, so right for Tyga and Avril. So about Tyga and Avril specifically, they write, it only lasted 3.5 months, but it's permanently altered our brainwaves. Same. Forget electroshock treatment. This did the trick. Avril is one of those people you kind of forget until karaoke night, see? And now she was suddenly shacking up with Kylie's ex, Tyga. Make it make sense. I can't possibly make it make sense. I've tried my darndest, but I cannot.
Well, it's also that Avril dated, no one said this in this, but Avril dated Brody Jenner, who is Kylie's brother? And then, yeah. So now she dated Kylie's brother, and now she's dating Kylie's ex. Like,
fan behavior, to be completely honest.
Yikes.
She just wants to date Kylie. Big reveal.
Oh!
Just kidding. We've really established that that's not true. Avril is heterosexual.
As far as we know. Who knows? She's such a persona of herself anyway that, like, honestly, right. Anything can be true.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I want to read the other people, and then we can decide who we actually think deserves this award. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet. What better way for little Timmy to prove he's a big boy now than to date a Kardashian? Well, a Jenner, but close enough. Kris has really outdone herself this time with the PR relationship of the century. You're confused? No, we are confused and wondering what they even talk about. That's my question with any Kardashian!
I know,
any Kardashian, what do they talk about?
Timothée Chalamet has really, solidified himself as just Willy Wonka in my brain. Him taking that role, and listen, he doesn't care about my perception of him, but him taking that role has really just made him Wonka. He will never be anything but Wonka to me.
Remember when he spread chlamydia all over our school?
I don't remember that, but that's fun to
know.
You've
never heard about this?
No.
Oh my god. Okay, this is what we're looking up now. Timothée Chalamet, NYU, chlamydia.
This is a shocking reveal for me.
I can't believe you've never heard about this. Okay. What I found first is a Live Journal article, so I'm just going to click it. Timothée Chalamet exposed for spreading chlamydia during his days at NYU. In the fall of 2015, we were there then.
Yeah.
The actor was enrolled at NYU, though he allegedly left the spring of the following year. His legacy has apparently lived on. In 2018, a rumor started to spread that the young actor had a sexually transmitted disease. Now it's all over Twitter with NYU alumni stating that this rumor was nothing new to them. One tweet says, the whole Timothée Chalamet spread chlamydia NYU thing is crazy because it actually happened. He fucked like a rabbit. Too many people I know can attest to knowing someone who knows someone that got chlamydia from Oscar-nominated actor Timothée Chalamet.
Wow, that's very chaotic.
Another tweet says, one of the boys I used to work with's girlfriend went to NYU, and he knows more than a couple of people that got chlamydia from Timothée Chalamet.
Wow. That just feels like NYU.
Yeah. While we were there.
I think it's weirder to me that he has, like, probably been inside Bopst.
I really felt like when you said has been inside that you meant that sexually.
Nope. I mean, listen, unless he got up to some nonsense in Hopes, which is the NYU library on Washington Square Park, I wouldn't advise that, but it has to have happened many times.
I mean, Malcolm Gladwell loves Bopes. It's his favorite place to get work done. I'm making that up, that it's his favorite place. He definitely does go there, though, to get work done.
Wow.
Yeah.
It could not be me. It literally could not be me at this time. I can't get into that building. I don't have any sort of a student ID or whatever.
I actually got into NYU recently because I was filming a comedy video. Everyone should go check it out. It's called Just So You Know. It's part of Gold Comedy. If you type in Just So You Know student loans, it should be the first video that comes up. We did a video about the student loan crisis, and one of the girls in my group currently goes to NYU, and so she was able to, like, get us all in, and we filmed there.
Wow, is she a grad student or a youth?
Grad student.
Nice.
Yeah.
For a second I got worried. I thought you'd interacted with a college student. I know that's your nightmare.
Okay, next. Kendall Jenner and Bad Bunny. So now we've got two Jenners on this list. Another Jenner, another PR relationship we can't wrap our heads around. They are both stunning. Talk about a dream threesome, am I right? But, like, how did this happen? How is it still happening? Does Kendall even speak Spanish? She probably thought owning a tequila brand was basically the same thing.
Oh my god. This is a really chaotic blurb.
Ariana Grande and SpongeBob. She's Barbie and he is just SpongeBob. I'm so glad we talked about the Barbie movie, for which the tag is she's Barbie, or she's everything, he's just Ken. That's the tagline of the movie. Ariana Grande is best known for being a Grammy Award-winning singer, style icon, being engaged to Pete Davidson, and of course, being our favorite character on Victorious. Ethan is best known for dressing up like a sponge on Broadway every night. We have a lot of questions.
Dressing up like a sponge is very funny because it's like, I mean, he specifically dressed up as character SpongeBob, but it does make it sound like he just was in a sponge, a generic, unbranded, non-anthropomorphized sponge costume. And it's like, he wasn't necessarily performing on Broadway. He was just dressed as a sponge and he was there.
As someone who saw him in the SpongeBob musical on Broadway, I can say that that's not true. He actually wasn't dressed as a sponge at all. He was dressed normally, like if SpongeBob was a human. Yeah.
Yes, the extra anthropomorphized SpongeBob.
Yes. And then Tyga and Avril Lavigne, and then Emily Ratajkowski and Eric Andre. Well, if being funny can get you a girl like Emily Ratajkowski, sign us up for improv. LOL, please don't. The real peak of this unusual pairing happened on Valentine's Day when Eric shared a not safe for work video of the pair, seemingly confirming the couple. But no, they had broken up before he posted it. So many questions, so many icks, so little time.
Uh-oh, don't do that.
What? He posted, what?
He posted a not safe for work photo of them together. Oh dear, we both clicked through the article.
Yeah, we did. Okay. A source close to Emily exclusively tells E! News that the actress actually broke up with Eric days before he posted the photo, adding she had nothing to do with the posting. What?
Yikes. You hate to see it. You truly do.
So anyway, who do we think is the fever dream couple? I have a lot of thoughts, frankly.
I mean, just based off of the weird post on Valentine's Day, it's got to be Eric Andre and
Emily. Yeah, I was going to say, if that wasn't the case, if they were just going off of, like, he's a weird dude and she's really hot, I'd be like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, because that's not, you know, I mean, first of all, he's hilarious, which is helpful.
Right. But, like, that's, and he's also not, like, bad looking.
No.
But it's crazy that he would, and I'm looking at the photo now, I don't know why he would post this.
Yeah, I don't know why he would post this either.
It's like him naked on a couch, like posing, and then she's taking the photo and she's like also mostly naked and you can like see her in the mirror.
Yeah, this feels like he's just doing it like he wants to flex and the relationship is over, so it's just like gross.
Yeah, I'm wildly confused. However, I will say I was also extremely wildly confused by Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater, whatever his last name is. Because, no offense to this man, he's very ugly. And Ariana Grande, not ugly. And he was married and had a newborn baby. Yeah. And so I 100% was like, this is a PR stunt. It is for the Wicked movie because they are both in the Wicked movie. The, like, PR people forgot to fact check and check that he was married first, and they were just like, you guys are together now. And that was that. And then it's gone on so long that I'm like, I guess it's not a PR stunt.
Yeah, very confusing.
What? He left his wife and newborn?
Yeah, like his child, like his high school sweetheart too. Not that it makes a difference, but I guess like for me, because that's my exact situation, right. I'm like, ew, dude.
Right. It'd be like right now, if George left you for Ariana Grande.
A celebrity, I would be like, dude, that's, I understand that like to some dating a celebrity would seem like a huge flex, but like it's embarrassing in this context. You know what I mean? Like you look foolish.
Yeah. So that one was really distressing to me. Because I was also like, why, you, if you needed to steal a man, why this one? This was not a good one.
Oh, big sigh.
And I also feel like I remember that the wife didn't, like, tell her. Like, she just kind of found out about it from, like, tabloids. Which also makes me think that it's, like, would have made me think that it was a PR stunt. Because, like, maybe he didn't know that they were doing this. Because it's not real. But then it is real. So, like, I don't know. So, yeah, I guess one of those. Sorry, Avril. You were not, you didn't date someone weird enough for this.
It's very true.
Who could Avril date that would be weirder than all of these situations?
Ethan Slater. Sloppy seconds. I guess it would be like thirds at this point.
Yeah, if Avril Lavigne stole Ethan Slater from Ariana Grande, stole him from his wife.
Our podcast would blow up, dude.
That'd be really funny.
Hope for that.
That would be really, really funny.
Well, what I would love about that is it would be like continuing to solidify Ethan Slater as like an inexplicable it boy.
He's the next Timothy Chalamet.
Yes, all the ladies want Ethan Slater.
Going back to that, I don't get the appeal of Timothy Chalamet. I don't think he's attractive.
I think he looks like a little boy. And yes. So that to me is like a non-starter.
And then his sister, not to be mean, but I'm doing it already, so I'm just going to keep going with it. His sister is in Sex Lives of College Girls. She's one of the leads. And I like her as an actor. I like her as a character, except that her character fucks all of these insanely hot men, and the men think she is also very hot. And I'm like, I feel like I'm being gaslit. Like, I feel like the show is trying to gaslight me into thinking that this woman is hot, and she's not.
I do not know anything about her, nor do I know what she looks like, and I can't weigh in. And also, that's okay. Everyone has all sorts of types.
They do, but it's in the context of television, especially, like, like, it's television. It's fine in real life if this is happening, like, go forth, but, like, this is TV.
Go forth is very good.
So, that'd be really funny if Avril Lavigne dated. Or if she dated Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet, that'd be crazy town. Especially because, wow, he looks young.
He does! And my thing with Timothy Chalamet is that, like, I get now he's famous, okay, fine. But at NYU, he wasn't famous. So how did all these girls get chlamydia? Also, why doesn't this man know what an antibiotic is?
I think that he looks very, like, I can see him being somebody's type. You know what I mean? Like, he has striking features and he looks, I would say, pretty generically attractive for, like, I don't know, the people who like young-looking dudes.
Well, I know a girl on, so when the Late Late Show existed, James Corden, he would sometimes do this Late Late Live Tinder, and he would, like, try to set people up that worked on his show by, like, bringing in people who were of their type, and then they would, like, live, like, swipe right or left on them and eventually, like, pick someone to have like a mini date with on the show and then decide if they wanted to go out again. And one girl on that, he was like, oh, what's your type? And she was like, oh, I like Timothy Chalamet, like really like thin, lanky, that kind of thing. And I was like, all the power to you, but I do not understand.
Yeah, but it's a very common type to have,
I guess, apparently, because everyone is fucking into Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
So, that's that article. We did it, fam. I feel like I can't talk today. Like, I feel like I keep trying to say words and, like, not exactly saying them correctly.
You got close. That's the important thing.
I just edited an episode where you were like, Oh, I know what you're trying to say, and that's the point of language. It's to
I actually almost said that again. So
after I said, I'm like, I don't know what I said, but it didn't make any sense, and you're like, yeah, I got it.
Meaning conveyed.
Yes. So when do we think Avril's going to release a new album? Because that'll give us lots of new content.
Yeah, what's going on? It's been a while.
Has it been a while? It feels like Love Sucks came out like 2 seconds ago. But I know that's not true.
I was still in grad school when it came out.
Really? No. Yes. We kind of put this podcast on hiatus while you were in grad school.
But I took another year when I...
Oh, right.
Like after law school, I did law school part two. And I remember walking to the train, listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't have been work because I was walking at like 3 p.m. So
right.
It had to have been while I was in grad school part two.
It was. It was February 2022.
Yep.
So almost 2 years now. So where's our new album, bitch?
Where's our new album? You had an entire breakup and then another breakup. You're allowed to write about how Love Sucks again. Love Sucks 2.
Do we think that Avril will write about Mod Sun on this new album?
I mean, probably. That's kind of... She sort of does that, but she doesn't do it like Taylor Swift gets extremely specific with her songs about people she's dated. And with Avril, I feel like she just writes the same type of song, no matter who she's broken up with, etc. I mean, there are some differences, like the line, you think that the size of your bank account is the way to my heart or something like that. Like, that's about the billionaire, presumably.
Right.
I mean, that one is probably about the billionaire, huh?
Yes.
And
however,
then Fell in Love with the Devil is like pretty specific to one dude. But other than that, I don't know.
But I think it's weird that she's never talked about the breakup. Like, she never acknowledged that they were broken up. She didn't even fucking tell Mods Sun they were broken up.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like in a weird way she was like trying to not give him the satisfaction because he was talking about it. And I think that she was like being pretty mean, like immediately very flaunting her new relationship. So I feel like clearly she had some level of vindictiveness towards him or she wouldn't have done that. And so I feel like it was a little bit of like, oh, you want me to talk about you so badly and I won't.
That's interesting that you saw it as vindictiveness. I saw it as just like she cared so little about him that it didn't even like cross her mind.
That is totally possible, but that's crazy for someone you were engaged to.
Yeah. Yours makes more sense now that it's been said out loud and I've heard it and it's, like, entered my brain space. But just, like, viscerally, I was like, oh, yeah, she posted about Tyga because, like, she just didn't care about Mod Sun.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's also totally possible because she is sort of built different. You know, like, in all her interviews, it's clear that she's built different. And in the Genius lyrics that we read aloud, the annotations that we read aloud a couple
episodes. Oh, my God.
I don't know what, like, again, oh, to have a moment inside of Avril's head.
I genuinely, I bet she's one of those people that, like, doesn't have an internal monologue, you know?
It sounds like she doesn't, truly.
Yeah. Wild. All right, well, we have 15 more minutes we need to kill on this podcast.
Can't you sense the enthusiasm, gang?
We promise, like, things are coming, except that I actually don't know. We've, like, hinted at to what next week's episode is, which is cool and all, except I actually have no idea what we're supposed to talk about on it.
Yeah, we have a great idea for an episode name, and it's, like, a very funny concept, and I think we can get there. I think that we can sort of, in a roundabout way, get to a full podcast episode on that particular topic.
Well, I know how we'll start it, and it will be by being totally honest about something you're probably not supposed to be honest about. That's a 2 second story, and then that'll get us into like how we came up with that was the cause of the coming up with the episode, and then after that, I guess it'll be another winging it, but with a little bit more planning.
Yeah, just get excited.
In my personal life, it's December 7th, 2023. I am still single. But I, like, feel like it's gonna happen, which is partially just because I, like, tricked my brain into that because I, like, started going to sleep listening to, like, subliminals being like, I'm in a great relationship and I'm so happy in my relationship. And then, like, after, like, 2 days of that, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get a relationship. So it really did trick my brain.
I love doing that. You can trick your brain into whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Sex Lives of College Girls can trick my brain into thinking that Pauline Chalamet is hot.
Look at that.
But I, presently, I'm still single. So then also, I did this, like, and I don't know why I did this, because I don't know why I would think that this would be real, but I, like, did, like, an online tarot reading where you just, like, think of your, like, question or whatever, and then you, like, click a bunch of cards, and eventually it, like, tells you what all the cards are and then, like, analyzes it. But, like, really weirdly, it's, like, you don't type out your question or anything. You just, like, think it in your brain. And I don't remember what mine was exactly, but it was something about, like, when am I getting into this fucking relationship? And the cards were, like, or, like, the what it said is, like, the analysis was, like, you need to, like, get out of your routine. And, like, 2 days later, I was going to my parents in Michigan for a week and then going to Seattle for work for a week, which I've, like, never traveled for work. So I was, like, very much out of my routine. And then it was, like, and you'll start a new relationship in December. And I was, like, wait, oh, what?
That's extremely specific.
It was so specific.
Did they say December of this year?
I don't think it did. I think it just said December.
Okay. So that means that if you don't get into a relationship this month, have no fear.
It'll be a year? No. No. But then what's also interesting astrologically is that there's a new moon. New moons mean, like, new beginnings. And there's a new moon in Sagittarius this month. And Sagittarius is my fifth house, which is the house of, like, romance and dating. And then in 2 months from now, there's a new moon in Aquarius, which is my seventh house, which is, like, long-term partnerships.
All right. Well, that timeline matches up.
Right. Exactly. So it feels like...
intriguing.
Feels like I'm supposed to meet somebody. But that being said, I, have I told the story on the podcast? There was a dude that, or there was, like, somebody that I used to know through the gym, and he posted on Instagram a picture with this, like, really hot friend of his, and then I followed that really hot friend, and then he followed me back, and then nothing ever happened, and then then the update is that recently, on Saturday, I, messaged him on Instagram, and I was like, hey, this is, like, random, because, like, we've never met, but would you want to go out sometime? And he looked at it, and he did not respond.
The audacity.
I like, don't really care, because I don't know him. I don't, like, have a crush on him or anything. I feel slightly embarrassed if he told the mutual people that we know. Mm-hmm. And my roommate was like, he definitely did. And I was like, fuck you.
Real support there.
I know. But I was like, okay, but one, men don't talk like that, you know? And really, honestly, I don't really even really care if they know. It's more like if they tell somebody else that, like, knows me, you know?
Right, yeah. The degrees of separation matter.
Exactly. And so that's where I'm like, oh, I feel a little embarrassed. But then I think my roommate also was like, it's not embarrassing, though, to, like, ask someone out.
I would agree that it's not embarrassing. It's just, it is what it is. It's more embarrassing to not respond after you've opened it.
Yeah. I don't know why and that's the other thing, is I'm like, why did you not respond? Just say no. If you're not interested, just say no.
You can just say no. It's fine.
I get from because I've been asked out many a time in my life, and not recently, but there used to be a time, I guess when I was younger and naive, that people were really interested in me, and I was asked out a lot, and I would find it really, really difficult to say no to people. But one, sometimes that was, like, a safety issue. And not really, right. Not like, oh, in this exact moment, I think you're going to hurt me. But it's, like, there's always that kind of...
No, there's long-term.
Right, there's long-term. There's always that inkling in the back of your mind as a woman that you will be harmed if you reject somebody. Right. And I often felt that I wasn't really given the opportunity to say no, because they would phrase it as, like, let's hang out. Like, let's grab coffee.
Yes, and then it's awkward, because what are you supposed to do? I know you're asking me on a date, even though you now have plausible deniability and can say that you're not, and then make me look dumb and feel dumb.
Ugh. Right, exactly. So that's actually, like, the thing that I really appreciated one time was somebody who asked me out, who was an old roommate of mine, and I'd asked him to come get his mail, because he had so much mail piling up at my apartment. And he was like, he like kept not getting it. And then eventually he was like, hey, I can come get my mail now. And also, are you single and do you want to get a drink? And I really appreciated that.
Very clear. Yeah.
Very, very clear. And frankly, had he just been like, want to grab a drink sometime? I would have said yes, because I would have assumed it was as friends, and he was an old roommate of mine. We did hang out as roommates, so, like, I would have gone, but asking if I was single, I was like, oh, you're asking me out. And actually, he sent it, like, 4 in the morning or 3 in the morning or something, so I just ignored it and told him when he could come get his mail, because I figured he was, like, drunk or something. And then he was like, great, I can come get it then. And also, like, shall I bring the drinks or something? And then I was like, no. And he was like, understood. And then it was not understood.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Man, that was, he was batting 1,000 until I heard that part. Disappointing.
Yeah, he, a little while later, was, like, telling me about some, like, horror movie I should watch, because we used to watch horror movies together. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he was like, I know I was, like, a Nazi of a roommate, but I really think we have a lot in common. I know, May is giving a face. Every time I say that to people, everyone's like, and he said that to a Jewish person.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
What a weird thing to say.
I know. I know. So, I was like, yeah, maybe. And anyway, now he's married. And the issue now is that he is constantly sliding into my DMs.
No. Constantly. Don't do that.
Constantly. Don't do that. And it'll be shit. Sometimes it's like fine. Sometimes it's like, oh, I had COVID. And he was like, oh, my wife got on Paxlovid and it worked. And I was like, okay. And sometimes it's like,
hey, you up?
Yeah, literally, it's like, I was at an open mic and there was like a little like boomerang for me at that. And I like reposted it. And he goes, the fit is, and then fire emoji. The fit was not fire. I was wearing the shirt I'm wearing now, which is a like kind of gross greenish grayish color cropped long sleeve t-shirt. And then jeans, and then high top Converse. It was not a fit. It was not anything.
That's like the most standard outfit that one could possibly wear.
Exactly.
He just loves jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
This guy. Jeans and a plain shirt.
Well, I was telling this to my friend Brittany, and she was like, in his defense, men don't, all they see is that they like what's happening. They like how you look.
Fair.
And so they're equating that with it being your outfit. But it's not your outfit. It's just your body.
Yeah.
And Brittany also said, in his defense, maybe he is in an open relationship. And I was like, that is something I had not considered prior. And that is possible.
It's possible, but I'd be suspicious regardless.
I'm very suspicious regardless. I did have a friend who was like, it's really unfortunate to find out that, like, you can be fully married and your husband could be doing this.
Yeah, that's uncool.
Do we think George is doing that?
That would be crazy. I definitely do not think that George is doing that.
We don't know, though. He could be doing anything. You've never checked his phone because you trust him too much.
Imagine that. Oh no, a healthy relationship. People used to really, and I know that I've said this on the podcast before, but I just like to bring it up because it's funny. People used to say that to me like frequently in college.
Oh yeah.
Rude contestants, which that's really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, that's uncool. I still can't believe the phrasing of the first thing he said to you. Good God.
The Nazi thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird time in my life. Anyway, also, even if he is in an open relationship, I've said no. I've said I was not interested.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so like,
cut it off, sir. Right. Yeah, don't. Anyone who's in the DMs and they're married, don't be doing that.
So anyway, I'm still looking for love. Wow, it seems lame when I say it like that.
You know what? I don't think it seems lame. I respect it.
It feels embarrassing that it's been so long since I have been on a date, since I've had sex, and like so long since I've been in a relationship. And it feels frustrating to me that I feel like I have put myself out there in a real world capacity that's like not dating apps and failed so many times.
Yeah, that is also confusing to me because I feel like I'm constantly hearing from people that they want people to do that more. And mm-hmm. then like people are obviously are either not doing it themselves or not actually receptive to it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like if you're not interested in me, you're not interested in me. But then I'm like, am I ugly?
I don't think you are, but you're not trying to date me. So
that's not helpful. What if I was trying to date? What if this whole podcast?
That would be wild. Oh my God. That would actually. Wait a minute. That would be the most out of left field thing. Forget Avril and Tyga.
Yeah. Forget Emily Ratajkowski and Eric Andre.
Yeah, exactly.
So that I've been doing this whole podcast to try to get May to date me.
That would be so whack. That would be like, no one would be more shocked than the listeners. Based off of the content of this podcast.
Well, it's like, so I'm rewatching the show Life Unexpected, and I almost never watch dramas unless they're like some sort of true story or something like mystery kind of thing. But I'm rewatching Life Unexpected because I just wanted kind of like background noise, and the main dude, the dad, is like so hot. I'm really not interested in the show, and I might not. It's only 2 seasons, so maybe I'll continue with it. But the premise is that it's this girl who's been in foster care her whole life, and she wants to be emancipated so she can stop being in foster care homes. But she has to get the signature of her biological parents, so she shows up at the dad's house. He didn't know he had it. Or no, I think he did know he had a kid. But he's, like, shocked. And then she finds the mom. And the judge essentially puts her back into the custody of her biological parents, who are not together. The mom is a radio DJ, famous in this fictional, it's Portland, it's not fictional, but fictional radio DJ in Portland.
Portland,
Oregon. Yeah. The mom's a radio DJ, and she has, like, this, like, it's a wild radio show, because it's, like, her and her male co-host, and he's just constantly, like, women over 30 are just sad and they're like terrible and crazy and blah blah blah, and then she's like blah blah blah, I don't know. And then like turns out they're actually dating or like engaged, and like and then the daughter like tells it to the whole world, and so then the whole world finds out that they've been lying and they are actually engaged. So what if we've been lying this whole time and George doesn't exist, it's me, I'm your baby daddy.
I like that you said George doesn't exist. I was expecting the logical conclusion of that to be that the baby also doesn't exist.
No,
she's real.
Baby's real, George is fake.
Yeah, that all tracks. That makes perfect sense to me. That's why she looks exactly like me and nothing like George. There is no George.
Yikes. I feel like, didn't George talk on the podcast one time? Is his voice
on the... Oh, he did,
I think so, yeah.
It is immortalized forever on the pod.
Or maybe it's like an Anna Delvey situation. I'm using like a voice changer to pretend to be George.
Yeah. Get in the comments of this episode. What are your conspiracy theories about us?
I love that. Please tell us your conspiracy theories about us. Please tell us your conspiracy theories about Avril. Please tell us your silly goose stories. Please tell us how much you love this podcast. Please tell us things we could improve upon with this podcast. If they cost money, I'm not going to do it, but listen to it. You can do all of that by sending us a voice memo. The link is in the description of this podcast. Or you can DM me on Instagram. It's KOJISATZ, Sabrakojis. You'll see it because I'm the only one. This has been another episode of What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious?